Had a partner. Welcome to another episode. Dude, I can't do accents.
Just, no, you don't need the accent. Just the characteristics. Like, just get that lean back on. Get those hands back together in the center. There you go. Give me that intro.
Welcome to another illustrious episode of your favorite podcast, Pocket Cast. I'm Ed. With me today is my fabulous friend Fletcher.
That's me.
Yes, thank you for being here today, Fletcher. I really appreciate it.
I do what I can. Fight through sickness, illness, and anything spiritually unholy just to be here with you.
I appreciate that, brother.
Of course.
I appreciate that a lot. This is a special, special day. We have a special treat for listeners at home. This is a squeakless episode.
We've got no seats.
We've got no seats.
No squeaks.
None of that frou-frou shit. We ain't sitting. We're standing.
I don't see that on TikTok. I see a lot of podcasts come up.
Everyone's sitting. You know,
everyone's sitting.
Everyone's lounging. It's not good for the knees.
That's right. Or the back.
Or the back.
The soul.
Mine's screaming right now. Probably from sitting all day. But it didn't start until I was standing.
That's the evil coming out of you.
That's right. Radiating away from me. Praise.
Praise be to Mario upon this March day.
Our Lord and Savior.
Our Lord and Savior.
Hallowed be thy name.
Mario Christ.
Super Mario
Christ. Super Mario Christ. Oh, you know that there's a hack of that. There's someone's made that game where they, like, it's Mario, but they've, like, replaced all the sprites with, like, Bible-related things.
Oh, and dude. Jesus. There are, like, some insane running through and Christian jumping. Video games.
I'm not even saying this would be Christian. I hope this would be a non-Christian making game.
Just a straight-up rip.
Just a fun ass. There's no squeaks, but there's some thuds.
My proclivity for absolutely smacking the shit out of water bottles wantonly is insane right now.
It is. If I was a water bottle, I wouldn't want to be anywhere near you.
It would be dangerous for you. I'm like 5 for 5 right now.
Taking my water bottle away from near you.
That's a good call. That's a good call. We played, fuck me, the new amazing Super Mario Bros. Game.
Super Mario Bros. I don't think there's a in there.
That's the one we played, yeah. I remember that. I looked it up probably like 15 times, and I could not get the name straight. I was like, it's the new Super Mario Bros. 3.
You sent me the message. You're like,
the best.
What game are we playing again?
Dude, I was like, I can't. There's so fucking many of these games.
Well, it's funny you say that, because on my card, I have new Super Mario Bros. 3. That is a game. That's a hack that someone made.
Oh, it's a hack? What? Yeah, it's not even, what?
Very cool thing about this game is that the DS version, because there's new Super Mario Bros., which is on the DS.
Uh-huh.
There is new Super Mario Bros. 2, which is on the Wii U, maybe it's the 3DS.
Okay.
There's just new Super Mario Bros., same title, on the Wii.
Okay.
And that's the one where you could do co-op, running through and fucking with each other and throw each other off things like that. And give each
other
play.
Sounds fun as fuck.
Which was originally supposed to be in the DS version, but they cut it. So, as I was saying, this version that we played is one of the most, it's out of all those, it's the easiest one to hack. And for a long time, the Mario games and 2D platformers have been where modders, hackers, game designers, and makers kind of start cutting their teeth at. You know, I'm going to reskin this Mario game. That's the easiest type of modding. Still not easy, right? But that's where you get into it. And then, now I'm going to learn how to modify the game.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. I would not have known that.
There's ones where they put Sonic in the game.
What?
And so you can now play through it as Sonic, and like,
that's fucking sick. Yeah, okay,
there's a lot of cool modding that they have people have done. And modding is a weird word, because you hear modding and you think like download the files, but I just mean like they modified the game. A hack, I think, a ROM hack is probably the most accurate definition of what I'm talking
about.
Oh, that
makes sense. Yeah. Okay, that's fucking dope. Okay, I did find that in searching for this game on a few occasions.
There's a million of them.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's pretty cool, actually. I didn't, I didn't know that. I guess it's the original OG internet predecessor to the Mario Maker games.
Yeah, whatever. I guess you could say that. Kind of, yeah. Yeah, I can see where you're coming from on that.
I've seen some insane shit on that. I've never played it.
Fucking wild.
But
Jesus. I always like to see, too, the levels that people's kids make.
They're monsters, dude. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Just impossible levels.
Or that are, some are just silly and weird and just like, they don't make any sense at all. You're like, all right, that's
all right, good job. We'll run it.
But you start a kid doing that at 3 or 4, then they're going to be pretty good at that later on.
Yeah, no shit.
I can feel my nose just continually getting stuffier and stuffier, and then it will like relieve, and then so my voice keeps going like up, up, up into my nose like this. And then
I hadn't actually noticed it until you literally just started talking. I knew immediately what you were about to say.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
It's life.
Yeah, it is, dude. I had pink eye last week. This week, this is my last day of taking drops.
Shouldn't even be near you right now.
Nah, it's fine, dude. I haven't touched poop in at least 12 hours.
Yeah, that's really good for you.
Yeah, I guess. That's what everybody keeps telling me.
I saw something. A lot of people said that this game was kind of poop.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this might be the first, like, time I've sat down and like attempted to play like an actual Mario game that wasn't a 3D Mario game. I fucking loved this game.
Yeah, that's how I felt too. And even like when I first played it, I loved it. Coming back to it, I loved it. And I was thinking about some of the comparisons they make are kind of some fair comparisons. Okay. Like going from Super Mario 3 or Super Mario World to this one, you don't have nearly the amount of power-ups.
Oh.
So that's, I think, a main complaint there. And I think the majority of the complaint is actually kind of on the series, the new series itself.
Okay.
Because it doesn't grow like the old Mario games grew.
Sure.
But it's like, those were groundbreaking and like game-defining things that they were doing. So... yeah, sorry, you can't build the wheel twice. Once you build the wheel, you have to end up making, like, the fucking Ferrari to have any more. And, it doesn't have that. And I can see why you would have that expectation coming out of Mario. But I thought it was a good fucking game. I
enjoyed this game.
I love the feel of the amount of control you get on Mario. Whereas in previous titles, and I think it's maybe just because of the animations, or I don't know. It's also, they took a lot of his 3D movement mechanics.
Okay.
And brought them into a 2D realm.
Got you.
And that gives it that more fast, jumpy.
Oh, see.
Do you get what I'm saying?
I do, but I do disagree with you on a fundamental aspect of your perspective, and that is that you liked it, and I fucking thought it was trash.
You thought what was trash?
Just the movement. I think Mario is a slippery little fucker that can't stand still, and he needs to chill the fuck out and maybe just like take some static inputs.
You're going so slow.
Nah, man, I feel like going fast was absolutely an issue for me.
Did you watch the Super Mario 3 speed run that I sent you?
Fuck, no, I did not.
Oh, man.
I did not.
That is...
I brute forced the shit out of this game. I meant to save it and like watch it like today or yesterday or something like that. Totally forgot about it.
We'll watch it, and I think you'll see what I'm talking about. The best way to play a Mario game is like it's a Sonic game. Just full throttle.
Yeah. See, I was crawling through those games too.
See, hold that run button and fucking jump.
Yeah, but like there's like gaps and shit.
You can jump on things.
You can jump on things, but like there's and gaps and shit.
There's gaps, and that's what I was telling you about is pulling yourself back in the air. When you watch anyone speed run these games, or that's good at these games, they're jumping and then turning back to where they jumped from.
Like just immediately?
To
face it.
Yeah, just immediately when you jump, if I'm jumping to the right, as I'm hitting that jump to the right, I'm now going to flip my character so that he's facing the other way so I can pull him back over if I need to if I'm fucking that jump up. Because when you're doing that fast enough, your momentum's still launching you.
Okay. Yeah, we did talk about that, and I totally also conveniently very much forgot about that also. So that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, he experienced it in a juvenile way.
Truly. Yeah. And it's in the truest fashion. Absolutely.
So having played Super Mario World recently, you prefer
like a little bit.
You prefer that movement over...
No, they're both dog shit. He's a slippery little bastard. And
what's your preferred 2D platformer? Do you have one? I'm going to give you a hint for
yourself.
Honest
to God, Croc.
I know Croc as a 3D platform.
Oh, yeah, dude. 2D, baby.
I don't know 2D Croc.
Oh, man. I think I had it for the GBA. It might have been a color game.
It sounds like a color game.
I think it might have been.
Croc, I feel like timeline-wise... radiates me towards more of GameCube because Croc didn't make it out of PS1.
It's really sad to hear because we've had this conversation before, and initially I wasn't aware that Croc had more games, much less 3D titles. I was like, what the fuck?
I think
fuck?
It's a, and I could be wrong, but I think it's originally a 3D title.
What?
And I could be wrong. I could tell you that it could be an older game than I realized, but I think of Croc 1 as a 3D platformer on the PS1. Croc 2 is the same way. And it's a game that is one of the first games that I had. And I really enjoy it. It's a hard game because it's tank control.
I was
going to
say, isn't
platformer.
It tank control?
Yeah. And I've gone back and played it. As I got older, I always wanted to go back and play Croc, because now that I am saying this, I'm really thinking this was like one of my first games, you know?
Same. So absolutely one of the first, like Donkey Kong Country, Croc.
Game Boy Color.
Yeah. Absolutely. I don't remember if I got a Zelda game immediately, but I definitely had those two, and I absolutely got my hand on like Seasons and Ages.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. A golden era for young Ed.
I remember going to a Boy Scout camp, and there was a kid in our troop. He was one of, like, the older kids.
Yeah.
He had a Game Boy, I'm assuming Color, with him. But I almost want to say it was actually an OG. Either way, he was playing Link's Awakening, and anytime he died, he was restarting his game.
Oh, shit. OG hardcore, huh? Damn,
and
dude.
He beat it like that on that trip.
Like for the first time and shit?
Like, well, I mean, it wasn't his first time beating. He'd beat
but
that,
I mean,
but his
that
first time beating it on that restriction. Yeah.
Fuck, yeah, dude.
Yeah, it was pretty badass. That
is so sick.
Wild experience. To, like, I think that was one of the things that really made me be like, I want to play this game. Why
oh,
is it
dude.
So...
Then it's such a, like... I feel like Link's Awakening is to the handheld Zelda games what this game was, Super Mario World, right? The new Super... No, just new Super Mario World. Jesus Christ.
No.
No?
New Super Mario Bros.
Fuck me, dude. New Super Mario... Okay, that game, fuck... The comparison I'm making is that this game is to the handheld Mario games just because it's that... It, like. From my perspective, having played basically none of them, this game seems to be, like you said, the blending of some of the more fluid movement styles and maybe actions taken. Like, just the movement over has this 3D taste overall.
Yeah.
And from my perspective, also a pretty major graphical and stylization overhaul as well.
The last handheld Mario game, original Mario game to come out was on the Game Boy. And then this one.
Gotcha.
So, yes.
Fuck yeah.
Like,
okay.
Had,
look at me knowing shit, making valid points.
You had Mario Bros. On GBA. You had Mario Bros. On the Game Boy Color, even. But they were just ports of the console versions.
Right.
So,
gotcha.
You had the Game Boy Mario games were called like So there's Super Mario World. So this would have been Super Mario... I wish I could remember. But it's similar to World, but it's not World. It's like... Gotcha. And they are Mario games.
Okay.
But they are very different. You might like those better. Because it is a little bit more sturdy, slower paced.
Oh, hell Mario. Yeah, dude.
The bosses are really fun. The worlds are really cool and interesting. The one that's on Switch that you can play, that's on the Game Boy emulator.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's like the second or first world that you're in. You're in a tree, and so there's sap coming down and up in certain parts, and it's like jello, basically. So when you start to move through it, you like slow down, and if you keep hitting jump, you'll stay up, and you still just kind of move slowly. And they use that as platforming elements.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, that's sick.
Yeah, that's a Game Boy game.
God damn, dude.
It's a good one. I remember really enjoying that one.
Doing a lot with a little, man.
Yeah.
God, I miss the raw majesty and wonder of those games, but through the lens of my, Christ, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old self. I don't fucking remember.
Oh, my God. That's wild to me. I still can't get over things like that.
What, that it was so long ago?
No, that you're like 12.
Oh,
I think,
yeah.
I was in first grade when I got my Game Boy Color.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
No, I'd already been through the most traumatic experience of my life by that point. Games are fun.
Games are fun. They take you away.
They do, man.
This game definitely took me back to playing it the first time. And I fucking... The giant mushroom. People call it gimmicky. I love
it. Dude, I thought it was awesome.
It was so fun.
I've only been able to pocket that one time. And... Like, one, that mechanic alone is sick.
Yeah.
But I am admittedly terrible at this game, at Mario. I think I got a lot better through the course of my play over the last couple weeks. Still pretty dog shit. But, like, I found some skips, I think. I didn't actually play what I thought was the correct way to go.
Yeah.
I think it was World 3 on the castle. It's the one that's got like the rotating platforms that you have to jump between.
And where you can get up on top.
And then there's the ropes. And then you can like do like a running jump and land on like a little ledge just on the wall up high. And then you can like wall jump and flip up and then go up to a platform.
Wow, look at you go.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude, it was a bastard. It had like this like upside down U-shaped box that had no bottom. And it was on a trolley trail thing. And you have to like hit the switch. And then you have to just continuously wall jump between the platforms as it lifts you up like an elevator.
Oh, I think I do remember that.
Bro.
Yeah.
But it goes straight to the boss room.
The wall jump. What a fucking fun, cool mechanic. In every game, any game that I play that has a wall jump or like a wall grab or anything where you can actually interact with that wall, it feels so good. It feels great in this game, too.
I will agree. The requirement to like... press and hold the direction of the wall that you're touching and then putting the jump input as opposed to just being able to like, I think more modern installations of this mechanic, you just kind of tap the button or direction you're going, hit the jump button one time, you're good. You have to like
this
press
one,
it
have
when
to
you
press
touch
it
the
and
wall
then press
and
off
then,
to where you're going.
Yeah.
I like it better.
I understood that that's what the first few times I was like, what the fuck? It took me a minute to figure it out, but once you get the hang of it, it's pretty freaking precise, and it allows you to like just kind of like hang and like slowly fall off the edge if you want to take a second, which you have to do in that little box scenario, because if you get into the corner, then you just bounce off the top immediately and just drop.
Oh yeah,
and it's not a lot of space. It's like maybe like 2.5 Mario's tall. It was a pain in the dick, but I got really good at it. I had a lot of fucking fun playing this game.
That's like one of the most satisfying things about Mario games in general is the element of if you lose all your lives, you have to restart the world.
Yeah.
So you might have just barely got past the second level the first time through.
Oh,
but now it's giving you fucking hell. So now you're going to become a master at level 2.
Right.
And then get back to level 3 and realize that was the one that was really giving you a hard fucking time. Yeah. And then you're going to master that one after having to now go back through. It's so satisfying to go through a level that was really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then after having done it so many times, you're just like, I can't believe this is ever hard to me. Like this level.
Yeah.
That was the one I told you about. 6-5 was the world that gave me hell.
Make it to 6-5.
It's an underwater level. It's got whirlpools in it.
What the fuck?
And it's got the green fish, I think, that like when they see you, they'll kind of like actually change their trajectory towards you. Whereas the red ones just like keep swimming.
They just go, yeah.
These ones like see you and they'll fucking. But if you're too low or too high as your smallest Mario,
mm-hmm.
they can't get you.
Okay.
And so there's just certain things about that level where you just, it plays you. Because we have been feeding you this pattern for these past levels. And now we're trying to kill you if you follow that pattern.
Dude, this shit's so, like, intelligent game design immediately comes to mind. Like, the game absolutely fucks with you. And, like, it escalates, I think, beautifully in difficulty, at least for me as a relative beginner. And I mean, I failed. Well, actually, okay. So the first time I found that fucked up elevator, the wall jump one, aced it the first time. No problem. Died immediately to the boss. No problem. We'll do it again. Nah, 15 dead repeats. Like, I was losing my fucking mind. But like you said, you get to be a master at something, at a mechanic, or just learning a level. And it's annoying as hell, but then it's super gratifying, and then you get to the next point, and it's just like, go fuck yourself. Like, Jesus, like, this is the first two levels of this world. What the fuck? It's not even like a midway point castle or a big boy castle level. Like, Jesus.
Level 8, just fucking.
Yeah, I played 10 seconds of that one world on your end.
Dude. That's me going from, and mind you, so you're when an interesting element about this game is level 4 and 6 or 4 and 7.
World 4 and 7 or oh yeah.
Right,
and
those two are both hidden. Like you have to take a special exit out of the level.
Yeah, I could not
to get to that level.
I could not find the one for 4.
So I don't know if 7 kind of teaches you some more steps. Gets you hardened along the way.
Yeah.
Because what it does is it takes you from 6 to 8. And going into 8, you're just like, what just happened?
Yeah.
It just got mean. This isn't fun right now, but it does become fun because that's when you have to just go fucking fast. Just go for it. Know Jeez. Where you need to slow down at. And then for the rest of the time, and like just starting to memorize that level.
Oh, man.
Fucking blast through it. It's fun. It's really fun. The moment they introduce the bullets at you.
Oh yeah, because you can just start, like bounce boom, off boom, of them.
Boom, yeah, and start flying through using that. And if you don't touch the ground and you keep doing that, you can start ranking up lives too.
What?
Yeah. Oh, well, at least that's how it was on the old ones. I didn't try it on this one.
Okay. But
I think, it is because you can do that trick with the shell. Yep.
Oh, I forgot to even try that.
Yeah,
God damn
it's,
it.
And it's kind of a precise trick, I think. I could never fucking figure it out.
Oh, shit. Doesn't sound like my thing. I'm not good at the timing. I'm constantly landing right in front of a Goomba, and then it's like, are you fucking kidding me?
That is the most frustrating feeling. Running through, you're going kind of fast, you're feeling good, and then you just land right where you think you should.
Oh, dude.
And it's not. There's a Goomba right there. They knew exactly what you were going to do.
Yeah. I'd have a couple of levels where I just cannot get past this one point. I just always something stupid, and it's always something different, and it's all bullshit. And then I finally get past that point, take 3 pixel steps to the right, and then it's like, oh, here's your halfway flag. I'm like, cool, I've fucking 1 life left. Dope.
Yeah, I hate that feeling. Great. Yeah, cool. Good for me.
Yeah. I will say, though, totally down with the plight about not getting enough power-ups, because that was fucking, there's nothing like having to repeat the same level starting out as Mini Mario. Like, that's, and like, no stocked item, nothing, and then
No, you misunderstand what I said then.
Oh, what?
They meant variety of power-ups.
Oh, yeah, I feel that. It was only like four.
Yeah. I hated the blue shell.
So, okay. Let's talk about the blue shell. But I forgot what I was saying before anyway. So no, let's go straight into the blue shell. I hated it. The worst power-up ever. I watched a fucking video of somebody using it. I was like, dude, I have to know. Like, what the fuck? Like, there's got to be some god-tier players out there that are like, actually, blue shell OP.
Yeah, there are.
It is. It's fucking OP as shit. Yeah. They're just zipping and flying through a level.
I didn't know you could go
across the ground as the shell, just like ripping through shit.
Yeah, yeah. What the but fuck? Even that's not as easy as it. Like, the way that you see people play it like that.
No, because they're still bouncing off of shit. And
you have to try to keep your momentum up. Otherwise, yeah, I don't know. Come out of your shell, and the moment you come out, you get hit, and then you lose your shell.
Oh, shit. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, that's fair. Yeah, yeah, no, I don't know how people are doing not that as, shit.
It's hard. It's yeah. Like, but it looks like once you master it, which is what this game is all about.
It is about simple masteries. Oh, yeah, my God.
You master it, and you fucking own it.
That's, yeah. That first underwater... No, not the underwater level.
Underground?
No, the overwater... The one where those big fish that just will like fucking
jump up.
They go kind of high.
Uh-huh.
And then in like towards the second half, there's a bunch of little fish that are jumping high. And I'm like, dude, this fucking level is pissing me off.
That's a callback to one of the original Super Mario Bros. Levels. And yeah, it immediately gave me PTSD for something I didn't know I had PTSD for.
Bro.
It's like these flashbacks of like, oh, wow. Like, I, you know that feeling when memories get... Just shoved into your
yeah,
brain.
Yeah, it's just like, boom, and you're like oh, my psyche.
It was that exact feeling. And but I blew right through that level, and thank God. Fuck I was just, you. I'm not. I'm, that first world is just like a ton of callbacks.
Oh, hell yeah. I really enjoyed that. I've gone back and played through the first world a couple of like more times, even though that's not where I'm at right now.
It's just nice.
You know, yeah, when I'm taking a fucking beating by some of the other levels, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to just have fun playing
levels,
this game for a second.
Maybe get some power up, you know, come back.
I did hate having to do that sometimes, but I did. Did I tell you I finally like stockpiled an insane amount of lives? I'm sitting on like 24 or 27 right now.
You did tell me about that. Yeah.
Fucking absolutely cruising, dude. I'm just like big king dick over here. it's an incredible feeling.
Yeah, I don't think I ever had more than 15 lives.
That's still pretty good, though.
Yeah, it was pretty good, but I know I blew through them.
I came up from like two, so I'm feeling pretty good about that.
You'll get back down there.
Oh, for sure. Well,
maybe not. You probably won't play the game again.
I don't know, man. I really want to. I have been playing more Ace Attorney 2. Not a lot.
Yep, I did a little bit more, too.
But I did do a little bit more. That third episode is pretty fucking funny so far.
It is hilarious. It is just such a funny fucking game.
I do really enjoy. I've enjoyed both of the last two games we've played for entirely different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But good games all around. It's a good thing there's so many good games in the NDS library. Fuck.
It's a pleasant library to dig through.
Sometimes.
We've done a pretty decent job, I think.
We've gotten a good variety.
Yeah.
We like to cover a lot. We've still got like 1,000 episodes before we have to start sweating the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. And maybe we should get some out of the way. But it's so hard to do something you aren't going to enjoy.
Next episode, the Barbie collection. I almost wanted to. I mean, we got to do it eventually.
Yeah, we do.
Not next week.
Let's wait until I have a daughter or something.
You think it'll be a girl?
I don't know. I think I'm leaning boy is my expectations. Just due to heart rate. You can kind of judge things based on heart rate.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah.
I don't know shit about fucking...
Yeah, when they tell you that, you're kind of like, oh, that kind of takes the wonder out of it, doesn't it? But they're like, hey, but it could be different. You never know. Like, that's only 90% accurate.
Oh, shit.
That's pretty fucking accurate.
It sounds pretty fucking accurate to me.
Yeah.
I'm not a doctor.
We're not finding out, so...
Yeah, buddy.
New Pocket Cast baby on the way.
Little Pocket Cast baby.
I have to get a Pocket Cast onesie.
Oh, dude. Yeah, absolutely,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I like that. That's a good idea. Oh, man. Merch line coming soon. Babies.
We need to take an ad break. I gotta take a piss.
Ad break. Boom. I'm not doing an ad.
Did you know that this is so funny? I just feel like that YouTube video game thing. That did you know? Da, 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 and then like list off the the songs for like the there's this, the music in this game. All the characters dance to a certain beat. No matter what's going on, they do a little like, bah, like little dance move.
What?
Yeah, the flower in the game. So when you're going through, then listen, the music is playing. There's right. like I don't know if it's the 4-beat or whatever.
Okay.
But they all have like everything in the game like does a little move. The flower that you can pick up that gives you the fire power.
You're talking about the like power up items?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That moves. The enemies dance. They move.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
This became a TikTok trend, I guess, at one point.
What?
Yeah, where people were like copying this whole idea of that like when something's going on, like. They're mourning their fucking loved one, but all of a sudden the music hits the 4-beat, so they have to do a little dance, even though it's like the saddest moment of their life.
God, well, it's dark as shit.
It's hilarious.
I like that. Yeah. Find some of that shit and send it to me, because I don't even know how to look for that.
Yeah, I will send you that. I had some fun looking up facts 4-beat about depression. This game.
That's wild, dude. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it is. All the characters do a little groove.
How did I not notice that? I thought they were just walking around doing the thing, just being assholes.
Like, it's a quick little thing.
Yeah.
I think it was just to kind of make the music a part of the game more so. You know, like it really causes a little bit more immersion.
No, that's fair. I see that. I did love this game.
It was really
good. There was some cool like moments of discovery where I was like, I wonder if. Like there's one the green pipe cave tunnel thing that you can get into. It's just one of those. It's just like a single screen room, and then there's a green pipe on the other side to exit. But there's nothing in the room, and you're like, "What the fuck?" There's just one Koopa fuck boy. But like the green tunnel exit pipe is like on one like row of blocks, and so you chuck. You know, you have to pick up the shell, chuck it down, and it just bounces between, and it slowly breaks the one under the pipes, and then you have to do, like, a running crouch or take damage and become little baby Mario or whatever, you know. And I fucked it up, like, 3 times trying to figure out, like, the right way to access time it and And I was like, that was kind of what I was thinking on how to do it, but I kept fucking it up, so I had to reset, and I'm like, God, voluntarily, like... Restarting a level is—that's a judgment call.
Is it worth it?
Almost Souls-like in that way. Like,
I know it kind of feels. It crossed like, my mind multiple times. Yeah,
like just I don't know, just the way the progression feels. I want to give it credit of being in similar flavor. I'm not making an exact 1-to-1 here, like. Everybody chill the fuck, you know, out and sit back down or whatever. But, like, I still get some of that, like, roguelite flavor to it. Like,
well, I mean, it's like the grandpappy of...
Yeah.
You know,
that's fair.
Any flavor you get, you're probably right.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. It's all, they all have roots.
There's a mechanic in this game that I despise that I see in so many... 2D platformers that, you know, obviously take it from this. If an enemy touches you, it hurts you. But like that makes sense in these games because they don't have, most of them don't have an attack. They're just moving, right? Like the hammer bros throw hammers. Some of them throw fireballs at you, but most of them,
they're just walking around
there. Yeah. When you get into like a Castlevania type game, if I just bumped into you and you didn't swing your sword at me, I don't feel like that should hurt me. Because it doesn't hurt you.
Okay.
It doesn't hurt the enemy.
Yeah.
And that's it's a mechanic that made sense in this game. And then in every 2D platformer from there on, when you play one where it doesn't happen, you will notice it and you'll never want to go back to any other platformer.
That's totally fair. Cause I'm like, you're talking about it and I'm right there with you, but I've never like perceived that mechanic so like individualistically. Like, right. It's just, I mean, obviously I knew that.
And was you know a fact, that, right? Like, just, you don't touch enemies.
I just, I took it for granted. That's what I'm trying to say.
And maybe that goes, I'm sure that goes back older than Mario as well. You know,
I feel like it's gotta. I'm sure if I was smarter than I am, I could sit down and think of one pretty quickly, but I can't. So
yeah,
probably.
Yeah,
seems like a mainstay of like video games.
You know, speaking of like heavily influential things, there's a heavy burden that had weighed on us. Of like, do we talk about this at the beginning or do we talk about it?
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, we were trying to figure out when we should bring it up.
So obviously, by the time you've heard this episode, you will know that Akira Toriyama. I had it perfect earlier.
Yeah, I know.
Passed away.
Yeah.
The creator of Dragon Ball Z.
It's just the father of childhood.
Of Dragon Quest. He's the artist for Dragon Quest.
Right.
Right. What I didn't realize until seeing all these posts was the amount of like influence Dragon Quest alone has.
Yeah.
Is the Shy Guys that have gas masks are based off of Toriyama's character. Because, you know, manga artists have a little character that they draw. That is where they got that from.
No shit.
Because he's got kind of a gas mask deal and like a hood on his character.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, okay.
You look at, what was that show? Desert Punk.
Desert Punk was like, it's so such formulative a, like, boom, for boom, me. Off, like,
oh. There's so much in that. And then the Pokemon comparison of the monsters you see in early Dragon Quest game compared to what you end up seeing as Pokemon. Tons of influence there.
Yeah.
The list goes on and on. And then the fucking Dragon Ball Z, you know, that speaks for itself. I saw there was a joke, then it got taken out of hand that people took it seriously, that the cartels put on a ceasefire to be like, we gotta mourn this fucking loss here, man. The creator of Dragon Ball Z died.
Well, not to be a boomer approaching Facebook as truth in the same way that I basically look at TikTok, YouTube, and Reddit, which is basically how I consume information across those three platforms, let's be real.
Yeah.
So diving headfirst in with no thought of what's actually going on for real, supposedly, like, cartel crime on the days new episodes would drop was at its lowest because everybody's at home fucking
mourning.
They're like, hey, everybody chill the fuck out.
Yeah, don't
sell your drugs in peace.
Fuck with me right now.
We're watching Dragon Ball, dude.
I believe that. I believe that 100%.
Absolutely, yeah, dude.
It doesn't matter if you, because right now, we're 30-year-olds, right? And that means there are plenty of other 30-year-olds, younger and older. I mean, I think it's a pretty wide spanning, because we didn't get Dragon Ball until way after. Everything that we were getting,
some of us got it even later than
even
that.
Even later, yeah. And you're not alone in that, you know? So, that was one of those things where I didn't realize. Like, I did, but I hadn't stopped to think about it until hearing about his passing.
Yeah.
That how much Dragon Ball Z, like, was important. And,
dude,
like,
he
how
had so much influence. It's like, have you seen those posts where it's just a collection of all of the different
TV shows that reference?
Well, the TV shows, but like, it's like the excerpts from the written statements by a lot of these other artists that were so heavily influenced, and just their commenting on his passing.
No.
And some of these are like almost a eulogy, like it's incredible, but it's just from so many, dude.
Yeah.
It's everyone. And then you've got these like artist collaborations where it, you know, representing, like, this, I saw this one that some artist had drawn up. I don't remember who it was, but it was, the representation was a bunch of kids like at like a summer scout camp or something, and they're all around to like a fire pit, and the scout leader is, you know, like presumably telling a scary story. He's got like a flashlight up to his face and stuff, and everyone's like, whoa. And so the scout leader is full size Goku, and then around the pit you have like these kind of miniaturized like child versions of all of these other main characters from
like Demon Slayer. Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah,
bro, I saw that one and I'm just like, man, I got work. I got spreadsheets to look at today, and I'm sitting over here crying at my computer at work.
Like, I think it was like 12 a.m. I just happened to like look at Instagram. My buddy James had posted something about it, and immediately, you know, it's one of those things. And like, I'm not a celebrity death doesn't bother me usually. Like, there's a lot of like my favorite musicians that could die, and I'd just be like, well, you know. Such is life.
So,
this is one where immediately I had to Google it to find out if this is real. I mean, the post that he had came from his like publishing house.
Yeah,
you know, so it was like already pretty real. But I fucking looked it up and I was like, yeah, that was real. And that was where I just had to. I just sat there and I was like,
did you text me?
I was like,
I'm glad to not find out differently, but like, or like from somewhere else, but like. That's not the day that I thought I was waking up to.
Yeah,
like,
that was. Yeah, that one hit. That one like fucked my whole day up. Like I went into work and just like so solemn, just chill as fuck. Like I was, I was just there. Even talking about it now, I feel like teary eyed. Just like,
dude,
it fucking hit, dude. I was like, because Dragon Quest 2 for me is so, it's a game that has brought me so much pleasure. It's a game that has helped me dissociate from terrible situations. It's a game that I still love to go back and play. It doesn't have any negative connotations to it over, you know, we've discussed that before.
Mm-hmm.
It's every reference I can think of in my life of Dragon Quest has been such a positive, enjoyable, funny experience. And then looking at Dragon Ball Z, now I will say this, and I will get some hate for this. Dragon Ball Z made me a violent fucking kid.
Damn.
I took the wrong message out of Dragon Ball Z. I think it's fair to say. But
I mean, I understand where you went wrong.
If you go back and watch it now as an adult, I think it's some fucking valuably good lessons of just being like, the toughest dude on the fucking planet is just so nice and just wants to eat food. I mean, he's like Buddha in so many ways.
Dude, Goku is infuriatingly amazing.
The one that rocked me too was seeing the post from the writer for Dragon Quest.
Mm-hmm.
Talking because like a couple years ago the original composer died.
Yeah.
And then now the artist died and he's just like, I don't fucking like what the fuck. You know, like his the way that his was written was just such this just like unreal. These guys had to work together for fucking ever, so hard, put so much time into these games, and then he's just like, I'm solo now. Like,
yeah,
I don't, like, what?
I'm the last one.
This isn't what I wanted.
Yeah. That sucks.
It just does. Sucks. But it's also so cool to see Facebook just fucking flooding with much of it. And the amount of people that you're seeing post things that you didn't know would give a shit about it.
Yeah, that's cool. That is kind of cool.
And they had that gathering in, I think it was somewhere in Mexico. They had the turnout that they had for all these people, and they gathered to all do like a spirit bomb thing together.
Dude, I saw those videos, like, you're like, man.
Oh, my heart.
Dude,
my
that's
heart.
So sick, dude.
Yeah.
Oh,
great.
Man. That is cool, though.
And wild, wild timing. Because we were going to do a Dragon Ball Z game instead of this game.
Yeah.
Because like mid-recording, we changed up our plans.
Yep.
And we did, dude. So we ended up doing Mario, which we were supposed to, and this was not planned.
Do you think it's our fault?
Yeah, absolutely. I've thought about that. It totally is. So, but we didn't plan this either. We are missing our recording day by a couple of days.
Yeah.
But originally, we would have been recording this episode on March 10th, Mario Day.
Oh.
Isn't that the weirdest fucking timing? So then what we did was we had planned already with last week or last 2 weeks that after playing Mario, we would play the game that we had initially intended to play, which is Dragon Ball Z, which would be just kind of perfectly timed.
Yeah.
For the episode to go along with, you know.
And I was excited for the game already, but now it's
gonna
have still excited, but like
it's gonna have a different touch. I've been playing Dragon Quest XI pretty hard right now.
Oh yeah,
because that was a game that I think I've been playing that for like 4 years, and I'm finally getting close to I think beating it. I don't know, because that's the great thing about Dragon Quest games is they were so good at making you be like, oh, this game's almost over. Yeah, like 100 hours in. Nah, man. You're halfway.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know if it's that extreme, but it's
that's cool, though.
Fucking, I guarantee you put 40 hours in and you're halfway through the game. Not that's even. Wild. Not, like, and that's when like your big drop happens. You know, the plot twist or just the shocker.
That's kind of cool.
And it's not even the biggest one because you're just... It's what really gets the story going. You know, you think you're playing the game. The RPGs always do that. You think you're playing the story.
Oh, yeah. And then it just... You're like, whoa, man, I'm coming up on the end of it here. And it's like, all right, so now, right, that, so tutorial's now that you're over,
out of Tutorial Island.
Yeah, you're like, what? I thought we just saved the world. Like, nah,
no,
bro, you maybe
doomed
saved
the world, actually. And now
you're
the
actually
world
the
hates
BBG.
You. You were being conned the whole time. I love that shit. So I want to do a Dragon Quest game so bad, but it's going to be a time where we have to do like an extra long space between recording.
I want to be able to put some time into a Dragon Quest game for sure.
And it is also nice. There are some where you can, cause some of these games you have to grind. Some of them, it gives you a good amount of the story before it all of a sudden is like grind wall.
Yeah.
So I think no matter what, you're still going to get a great taste of it when we get to it. We, like I said, we aren't doing Dragon Quest. We're doing Dragon Ball Z.
Attack of the Saiyans. Yeah, it looks like a 2D top-down-ish
RPG. Yeah.
And I'm here for it. We saw like what a trailer, I think, worth of content, and it looks pretty cool.
It looks, yeah. The animation in it looks awesome. Of course.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude. Oh, man, dude. I kind of want to go back and watch just Dragon Ball again.
I have had that same thought.
Cause that is.
I don't know if I've ever seen either one. Totally in completion. I'm sure Dragon Ball Z I saw as it was airing. I remember like running home from school to get home in time.
That's kind of cool.
To catch the beginning of Dragon Ball Z. If you got there too early, you would have watched Sailor Moon for a little bit, and then Dragon Ball Z would come on. So you start to kind of get this little bit of intrigue into Sailor Moon, but you'd never admit
that's
that.
So funny.
So that's what
I've been told. I need to watch Sailor Moon. I've never seen it.
I remember putting it on a couple episodes, and it's entertaining, but it's high school girls, so it's like,
yeah,
this isn't for me.
That's fair. You know? Yeah.
And also, they're not really high school girls. They're 13 or 12, and they, you know how anime is. They're high school girls.
Well, and yeah, that's all we'll say about that.
So I don't know if I have, like, I'm sure that I watched it from beginning to the end of the Dragon Ball Z saga. It ends with Boo, I believe,
I'm
is the
sure
last one.
Boo, I don't remember which is, because Boo's not done at the end, because what's the
arc? Because then is it Cell? Is Cell the last one?
No, I'm pretty sure, no, it definitely goes, because Cell is before Boo.
Cell's the green one.
Right. Frieza, Cell.
Cell, Boo, Evil Boo, because Boo, like, splits.
Oh, yeah, you get Evil Boo, Nice Boo.
And then after that, it goes into Dragon Ball GT.
Is that where you get Majin Boo, or is Majin
Boo? Majin Boo is part of the Boo.
Yeah, in Z.
Right? It's in Z.
I think it is. Yeah, and it's been a long time since.
That's where I like. I know I watched all of Dragon Ball Z. I guess I just don't remember it that well. I know there's abridged versions that people say are what you should watch because the
it's daunting. Yeah, I haven't really seen much of anything after Z. I've seen snippets of the beginning of GT.
I remember watching a little bit, but that's around the time when it was like, it wasn't cool to be watching anime. And
I do remember that, and my ability and access, well, once ability and access became an option again, I was more interested in like girls and hood rat shit. So
yeah, I feel you.
I wasn't spending a lot of time in front of the computer back then.
There are times where, you know, I'm very appreciative of my hood rat days.
I'm glad I got it out before I had amassed anything real significant to lose.
But at the same time, I sometimes feel like I missed out by not just full diving into the nerdy, not leaving the basement.
Yeah, you know? Just be, what is...
I know I didn't miss out, right? Like, I know I did, but you always like, man, I wish I had, you know, seen all that shit or like fully dived in, you know.
Well, and looking back, especially like as we kind of dive into some semi retro stuff through the DS and this podcast, it definitely, one, is opening my eyes to like all of the stuff that I had missed as a kid, and some of these I'm getting to visit for the first time or revisit, even not quite as often as you, I think, but
yeah,
to an extent still,
sure.
And like, I've always wanted to play a Dragon Quest game. We're going to do that. And playing a lot of these other games and just reliving the joy that I had in handheld gaming. It's great. I do like it.
Yeah.
Like Phoenix Wright was a big one. Professor Layton was a big one. Like, I've been wanting to play some of those games.
And now you have like an understanding of a Mario game pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. Which kind of bummed I missed out on that, because I've been sleeping on Mario and I would never have said it out loud, but I was talking some shit in my head about Mario. I was like, oh, okay, little baby game. Okay, yeah. And then I'm playing Mario, and I'm like, fuck this game, dude. This game's kicking my ass.
Yeah, it is. It's wild, because people talk about how you can't take someone, an adult who isn't a gamer, and put them in Halo.
Yeah.
You have to start them where video games kind of start, home console gaming really kicks off, which is Mario.
Yeah.
And it's a wild thing to think about, having played how we have, because the first level is doable. Second level, also doable. Third level is underwater, and it's kind of a pain in the ass, but you can get through it. The whole first world you can beat, and it just progressively gets harder. But it does feel like it gets increasingly steeper.
Well, it does a really good job of silent
teaching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I say, I don't know, because I do have a background in playing video games. And like, even though I don't have a lot of hands-on with Mario, like I've seen enough gameplay to know that there's some shit going on under the hood that's maybe not explicitly defined. But even then, like playing Super Mario World with Alyssa, like, she had the Tatsuki suit or whatever?
Yep.
And, like, you do a fucking back and forth, spin dash, dive, and you fucking fly up in the air. Dude, yeah. She was already blowing my mind, ripping through some of these levels. And then she did that for the first time, and I was like, what the fuck was that, dude? Like, what?
And she doesn't even, like, know to explain it to you.
Oh, she would not explain it to me. She was like, you have to figure it out just like everyone else. I'm like, you motherfucker. And that's
bullshit, because I bet.
Well, like, I didn't know there was a run button at first. Okay, so I learned this literally days before we started.
I think we talked about it in the podcast.
Or new Super Mario Bros. Jesus
Christ. I think we discussed it last episode. I think we might have. I think I remember it blowing your mind that there was a run button.
Two run buttons.
Yeah.
There's a sprint, and there's a more sprint. Yeah. Also sprint, but if you do them together, it's more sprint.
Yes,
it's more sprint immediately instead of more sprint after sprinting for a while.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
Blew my mind, dude. It took me easily 6 lives to figure that out. Because, like, one, she was intentionally, I swear to God, she did this on purpose. She wouldn't sprint until right before a jump. So, like, it took me forever to realize that she was sprinting.
Huh. That's an interesting way of playing, I gotta say.
Yeah. Well, you get a significant, like, boost when you sprint jump. And I've used that. I'll just like sprint jump.
Yeah.
And it's pretty.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, but she would just like walk, and then right before a ledge, she would just like
use tap. Like,
yeah. Push him like at the same time almost.
Huh.
Bitch.
Bitch.
God. I said, bitch. yeah. Good time struggling through. What a game should be. Super rewarding, grueling at times, overall fun.
Yeah.
Killer soundtrack, as of course.
Yeah.
Visually stunning, as we mentioned.
I love the fact that they have a 3D model, but it looks so crisp. It's this, you almost don't even notice that he's 3D until you see certain movements, and it just looks so good.
Like, it looks delicious. I really like it, actually. It's cool.
And I got Morgan and Ed got me a DSi for my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Over birthday the again. Last week or two. I forget when it was.
I'm so jealous.
It is.
It is actually cool.
I never know. I remember when the DSi was coming out, and I had a DS Lite,
mm-hmm.
and I just thought it wasn't worth it, you know, the upgrade. Also, I was probably couldn't fucking afford it if I wanted to.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
But oh my god. And so since then, I've just always thought like, DSi is a waste of time because it doesn't have the GBA cart.
Mm-hmm.
That was back in the day when you couldn't run GBA games on a DS cart.
Right.
But now you can.
Now you can.
You can bypass that. So now DSi is the fucking way to go. I gotta say, this D-pad, dude. So good for this game.
Oh, the buttons are so crisp. Just
so crisp. So mechanical feeling.
Ugh.
Everything about it feels good. Looks good. You can change that screen brightness so easily.
Dude, and the screen just looks better. Like, it is a fairly decent upgrade.
Yeah.
Comparatively. Like, and I thought the, what is this, a DS Lite?
DS Lite, yeah.
Yeah, I thought the DS Lite looked great.
Yeah. But, I did too.
Damn. And it's a little bit bigger. But like also slimmer.
It still fits in my pocket just fine. I took it to work on accident the other day.
That's great.
Yeah.
So I always take mine to work, but usually I've left it on, and I keep a charger at work specifically so that when I leave it in my backpack and it comes to work with me, I can remember to plug it in while I'm working. So that way, when I get off, it's charged.
That's hilarious.
It's ridiculous. Like, I used to keep it plugged in my nightstand, but I would forget to plug it in, and then somehow, just taking my charger to work and plugging it in on my desk.
Hey.
Just that's how I remember to do it. I'm like, geez.
Like, I feel so cool having my DS on my desk.
No, I usually like hide it under a stack of papers.
That's smart.
Because I'm like, man, this feels like the nerdiest thing.
Do you think people even know what that is when they see that?
Honestly, they'd probably look at it and be like, why do you have an external drive plugged into the network?
Yeah, or
like, it's not, I swear to
why,
God.
Why are you using a 2004... hand, what were those called? The PDA? Planner? Yeah, the PDA.
Yeah, nice, yeah. PDA, nerd. Where's your pager? Dude, I wanted a Palm Pilot bad as a kid.
My dad had one. I used to mess with it and just feel so cool. It was
so cool, yeah. Dude. Oh, fuck a pager. I wanted a Palm Pilot.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I still gravitate towards styluses. And unless you're shelling out for something like a fucking... like an iPad Pro with the Apple Pencil Apple or whatever,
Pen. Yeah.
Or Apple Pen. Fuck off. Yeah. Well, not that that's the only good quality. There's a lot of other like standalone tablets that are actually really good, but like most of those are in like the digital creative space, which is sensible.
No. Yeah, that's fair. It makes sense, I guess. I guess they need the pens.
Yeah. I had the Samsung Note.
Note 8, I think it was. Yeah, I remember.
Fuck, I drew so many dick pics on my phone. That's what I did. I was just drawing dicks all the time, dude. Meetings at work, dicks.
I want to try to use on this DSi, speaking of which, not for dicks. They have the PictoChat, and there's another one on there for drawing. And it looks so fun, having seen people's videos. And I'm curious just to how it works. Because it looks like it's a very easy to learn animator.
That's kind of cool.
If I'm wrong, email us at pocketcastpodcast@gmail.com. No exclamation mark in there. Not like our podcast name.
Right. We like to keep it simple.
Yeah. We're not yelling at you over email.
Correct. We're politely forecasting the truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We want to hear from you. Do you play the game with us? Have you played the game before? Do you hate it? Do you love it?
If you want to elevate your Pocket Cast listening experience, play the game, but with us.
That's the whole
idea. Come prepared to class next time.
Yeah, have some opinions coming into listening to us talk and be like, you guys are fucking idiots. You're just bad at this game.
Like, yeah, never died once, beat the game, you guys are trash. Accurate.
Send proof.
Yeah, send proof.
Send proof when you're going to come with these words.
Right.
Know who you're coming at, Pocket Cast.
Right. Send us via a polite email. Let us know.
We might send you one back.
We probably will.
But it'll be vulgar.
It'll be rude. We're rude guys. We're standing rude guys.
We are. This was a... I like it. I like standing and recording.
This is nice.
I think I should have worn shoes.
I should have worn comfier shoes.
My feet are hurting from the hardwood floor.
Yeah, these are sitting shoes. They have hardly any sole to speak of. And Jesus Christ, it feels like my shins are standing on the floor.
So I think on that note, we're going to wrap it up.
Solid episode.
Solid episode.
Squeakless episode. That's a wrap.
Squeakless.